Wait, I have to tell you something crazy. Wait, this is actually good for the podcast.
All right.
I met fucking Ted Sarandos last night.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast, gang. Today's going to be a great podcast, but we were just talking about something before we recorded, so we're going to finish that conversation real quick.
Yeah, so Clay was mentioning our buddy, I guess this will be old news by the time we do this, y'all are getting this pod, but our buddy for Labor Day posted something about merch splits at venues, just how fucking ridiculous they are. And for anybody who doesn't know, when you tour now, it's mostly been a thing post-COVID. When you go on tour now, a bunch of the venues who feel fucked over by all the COVID restrictions and all that stuff and how tough that was, and then how also Live Nation bought a ton of these cool old venues and, you know, is screwing over everybody that way. A bunch of these venues have started taking merch splits, 20% merch splits. So... Mm-hmm. It's mostly for soft goods, and then some of these...
10% hard.
10% hard. Some of these venues are doing 10% hard. Soft goods are hats, shirts, sweatshirts, and then hard goods are records. And for anybody out there who is curious how record sales work, whenever you buy a record from a band, that is usually going back to the record company because the band owes their advance... to the record company. So say they get $50,000 to make their record. They make their record, then the record label presses records. They'll press 5,000 records. The band doesn't make any money off of record sales until they make $50,000 worth of records. Until they sell $50,000 worth of records. And maybe I'm like getting it wrong here and there. I didn't know this. Until I just got like an invoice from my label saying I owed them like $10,000.
Yeah. Excuse me?
What?
Yeah. Okay. Let me just can I just read you some tweets here?
Sure.
All right. So my
hold on. But should I say what our feelings are about it before we say what other people's are? Is that?
Yeah. Go for it.
It's fucked up whenever you do a show for 300 people. Your guarantee for that night is $1,500. So your goal that night is to double that with merchandise, and then the venue takes 20%, and their excuse is, oh, well, COVID hit us pretty hard. But that venue made $300 worth of people at the bar.
Plus however
bar take.
And we don't get any of their money from the bar, so why are they getting any of our merch?
Yeah, COVID hit you hard, too.
So here's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think there's... My hypothesis, so I follow Jeff online, our buddy, and he
Jeff
tweeted
Rosenstock.
This, and now my Twitter is like everyone trying to be a contrarian with him, and him just replying to it, so that's all my feed is now. The most recent one was Propagandi, and here's my thought on this is, I think when you're punk, you're like you're really into like being whatever, and Propagandi is like a very political band. But I think there's something in Metamucil, because when you get old, you just have this fucking brain rot, and I think it's in the Metamucil, because I know Propagandi, they need a lot of Metamucil to live.
Yeah.
And so their thing is saying, their take is, bands really hate to be charged merch rates on their sweatshop garments.
Oh, no.
Oh, thank you so
this
much.
That's a really cool take.
What, are they using, like, exclusive?
Well, no, here's
the Los
apparel? Stop. So Jeff like subtweeted it and says, "Hey, no, we don't use that. We have our garments are like free of all that shit." And then someone in the replies took off their Propagandi shirt and they were like, "Guys, why are you guys printing on a Fruit of the Loom heavy shirt?" So there's that, and there's another one that I want to read, which is one of my favorite ones today. It's from Steve Albini. And Steve Albini, produced Nirvana. He's in a lot of bands. Everyone loves him. Very opinionated person. And he goes, Not often admitted, but merch cuts are 100% negotiable, to the extent that my bands over 40 plus years have never, not once, ever paid them. When agents make deals, they don't care about ticket surcharges, merch cuts, or other leaks. They don't affect their cut. The band just has to insist. Which is like, what's your point, old you fucking
He's saying like it could be
dummy?
Like your writer?
Well, no, he said what his point is like, well, did you ask not to take out the merch cut?
I will say that I've played a gig before where the woman who was in charge of all that stuff, she was like the night manager. She said, oh, did you count how many shirts and records you sold tonight? Because we do a merch split. And I go, what? No. And she goes, oh, yeah, me neither. I guess you sold one shirt.
Yeah.
And so she took, I think, $5.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
I remember when we were in D.C. when you opened for Slaughter Beach Dog.
And I had hired Rod to do merch.
And they took all the merch. And because they are like, we sell it ourselves. And they do. We take.
You're right.
20% soft and 10% hard.
Yeah.
And being like, this is the stupidest shit in the fucking
world.
Well,
and they also, for the opener, they put the merch booth in like the worst possible location so nobody would buy merch anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the worst one on Jeff Rosenstock's list there is the 930 Club in D.C.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Steve Albini's right with his old ass. Did Jeff actually ask for that not to happen?
Well, it is a thing with agents just in general is they're not affected by any of this stuff and, you know, whatever. We're just bitching right here at the beginning of the podcast. I guarantee the guest is going to be really funny. But agents aren't included in any of this shit, so they don't fucking know. They don't care.
Right.
I mean, I've had agents take 10-15% of things where they didn't even have anything to do with.
I'm surprised your agents aren't actually asking for some of your merch cut.
I will be fair, like I don't want to be
money we make from this podcast.
I don't want to be a hypocrite here. I really don't. But I do take some of Witt's merch money too, which he doesn't know about. Well, it's not something that he needs to be.
Clay gets like he gets a 10% cut.
Yeah.
And it's
called the clay cut.
You get the clay
and
cut.
He has to put that into slot machines.
Oh yeah.
That's the deal.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just to be fair, I've done that, but also I also eat Metamucil too.
All of that's
really good.
I think everyone has like the Bill Maher disease where the older they get. I mean, Bill Maher's never had a great day, or maybe he has. I've only known him now with his old ass. And they just want to speak up.
I mean, did you see
I have to
say something here.
Rod sent us a photo the other day of Bill Maher in a Stewie Griffin shirt. I think Stewie was dressed as Darth Vader.
Yes, yes.
So good.
There's nothing. That's what you want an old guy who's like completely out of touch to be wearing. And that's what our guy Bill Maher is wearing. And now I've started to love it. Like, especially post Tim Heidecker doing the parody of the Random Club podcast.
Club Random.
It's made me. I'm more entertained by Bill Maher now than I ever have in my life. Have you seen the video of him talking to Quentin Tarantino about how 1917 is like the best movie he's ever seen in his life? And I think it's like a good movie, but Quentin is just like, no, it's not. And it makes Quentin seem like the most relevant thinker of all time. I guess the rule here is when you get old, I hope that when I'm 60 years old, I have like a 22-year-old child.
Yeah,
and I'll just or just get off the internet.
Yeah, just kind of stay away from it. Do your own thing.
Whitney sent me. This is another intro to a podcast where your wife hurt my feelings.
Go for it, man.
Whitney sent me an Instagram video the other day of this old guy who like wears really tight jeans and a tight shirt.
Oh yeah,
and he rips his shirt to be like cropped,
mm-hmm.
like a Sublime shirt cropped.
He's mm-hmm. a cool guy.
Yeah, I've seen this guy.
It broke my heart. She said, this is you. This is you in the future. It really broke
the
my
old,
heart.
The old man with a... Dude, his style is so...
Cool?
Cool.
It's very Melrose 2009.
Yeah.
Remember moving to LA and thinking Melrose has got to be the coolest place in the
was
world.
Was it not the coolest place in like the 90s or something? Like,
I think you're just thinking of Melrose Place.
No, I think in the 90s, Venice Beach was the cool spot.
Okay.
And then when we moved to LA, I think Melrose actually was the cool place because that's where all the pro skaters lived, like Spanky and Jerry Sue and all them live kind of near there. Remember all of our cooler friends? We would go to their Halloween parties on Melrose. They all lived like off of Melrose.
Yeah.
And then it became Silver Lake Echo Park and all that shit. But yeah, as a kid, I thought, well, Melrose, it's the Sunset Strip. It's Melrose.
We love the Sunset Strip.
We don't hang out.
Can we take it back?
Let's take it back. We don't hang out on the Sunset Strip.
We're
enough.
Going to the Sunset
and there's some
Strip.
Cool shit there.
Yeah.
I've never
there's
even.
There's a dude. We could spend all day at the Pink Taco. Are you kidding me?
Pink. Oh, yeah. Pink Taco. I've never even been to Musso and Frank's.
I have. It's great.
I'd love to go.
So good. Never but been. It's a lot. It's a lot more crowded than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood would let you to believe.
Here's what I want to do for my birthday, and it's going to be a birthday week. Unless I'm like loaded rich, which means we're going to Vegas.
You just had your birthday.
Yeah, I know, but I have a new birthday.
He's planning a big birthday.
I want to go one night each week to all of the places, the neon signs that are in the opening of Entourage.
So good.
Oh yeah.
Well, wait. So wait, is there?
Meet me at Frolic. Oh,
what was that? What's the strip club that's in the beginning?
The Body. Actually, I've been there.
Yeah.
I dated a girl for a second who secretly worked there, at the Body Shop. Did I ever tell you about this?
Mm-mm.
You know her. She told me for the. This is years ago, but she told me for the first. 6 months that we were kind of just dating as pals, nothing serious, that she worked at this bar called Saddle Ranch.
Okay.
Which is that bar that has the mechanical bull.
Right.
You know this bar?
In, like, City?
Where is it?
No, it's in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip, I think.
Oh.
And,
that wasn't the Roll Tide, the Alabama bar, was it?
Maybe. I don't know.
There's some
bar.
Seems
like a gimmick enough that it'd be in City Walk.
I feel like there is like some bar that had a Western theme that was like the Alabama bar that would always play the Alabama games that Brock took me to one time. But anywho, don't let me interrupt again. Go off.
So she told me she worked there. I would sometimes pick her up there. Uh-huh. She said she just got off work. And then we were at the beach one day and she was paying for parking and like 10 singles. And I was like, are you a stripper? Or are you just trying not to tell me because you don't want me to tell your uncle? Because I knew her uncle from Alabama. And she goes,
Uncle Sam?
Yes,
Uncle Sam.
Wait.
He works for the government. Yeah, the government got it, the big hat.
Uncle
our
Sam.
National uncle?
The big eagle.
That Uncle Sam?
It's yeah. He's
our nation's uncle?
And he's friends with God.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who's your nation's uncle? I would add when I ever met someone who is not from America.
Oh.
All right. Who's your nation's uncle?
Ours is Sam. He knows God.
Yeah, he's friends with God. Anyway, so then this is whatever predictable, boring story.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll spice it up.
She goes, what are you, a stripper? And she goes, yeah, I am. I've been working at the Body Shop this whole time. I've been lying to you because I don't want you to tell
me. Ready
my
for
uncle.
Me to spice up this story?
Yep.
Around the corner, you wouldn't guess it, but some ninjas and zombies came out.
What?
And you had to.
I did have to fight them. I knew.
And guess who was there? Guess who was there?
Huh?
Bill Murray. Oh,
dude, yeah. 2009 was so cool.
It was cool.
Bill Murray came out and he helped you fight the zombies and the.
That's really nice. He was really random.
He came on.
That's
he was
honestly
riding a
epic.
Pug all the
just
way.
Just the legend of Bill Murray being random at random places.
Mm-hmm. Epic stuff.
He made my friend cry one time in a restaurant because he was so mean.
Yeah, he thought your friend was a zombie.
He just wanted to be random.
He was being random.
Remember
making
when
your friend
all it
cry?
Took to be viral on the internet is to talk about how you do karate? And you go like karate, you go, oh, my roommate's being weird. Why?
Because he's a ninja?
Yeah, he's a fucking ninja. Times were better then.
Yeah. Remember I had a roommate that would dress up like a ninja sometimes?
You really did?
I had a photo.
It's the best. And you could feel, I mean, this is when we were in our mid-20s, and you could feel that in his mind he was a ninja. Yeah. But he wasn't trying to be funny.
No.
He was serious, and he collected samurai swords.
Mm-hmm. He was cool.
He was actually cool. He's, like, cooler than any of us.
Yeah, I had bed bugs in downtown, so I was really displaced, and to find myself here with my new ninja roommate. Yeah. That was a big culture shock for me.
Yeah. Big time.
I wonder what he's up to now.
Probably
living in fucking, you know, he's living his best life.
I bet he had a lot of Bitcoin.
I guarantee he manages what do you think? What kind of restaurant do you think?
Remember he worked managing? At BJ's?
Managing a BJ's.
BJ's, yeah.
All right, well, here's our guest. His name's Carmen Christopher. Hilarious comedian and friend. Check him out.
How do you become a pro rollerblader?
Yeah, I don't even know if you can be a pro rollerblader.
There must be somebody who sponsors rollerblader.
I used to know a guy who was a pro rollerblader, and he said that it sort of dried up because everybody got so good at rollerblading that there was no...
You couldn't tell who was the best?
Yeah.
Damn, that's pretty
Everyone
could
do like, the same flips or whatever.
It's like comedy.
That's true.
Everyone's doing the same shit.
Dude, there was somebody the other day I saw on Instagram who's like famous.
Yeah.
Comedian. And I've never heard of her or seen her or anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's because of Instagram and TikTok and shit. It's like, damn, all right, everybody's famous now.
It's fucking whack. I mean, it actually just dilutes it. There's no such thing as fame anymore.
Yeah, that's why you got to go on stage now and act real crazy and do stuff like this.
Yes, yeah, dude,
uh-huh. Yes, that's exactly what you got to be doing.
Hit him with the upside down jersey. Hit him with the hello.
Imagine
I'm your neighbor.
Wait, why is that the one? Why doesn't this do the same thing?
No,
dude, you can do this
because you look crazier like that.
What about this one?
Yeah, hit him with the old.
Yeah.
Yes, dude.
Oh, dude, imagine coming up with that.
Yeah, whoever came
that
up
first
with that.
Guy?
It changed your life.
Yeah. Honestly, probably, I don't think I've seen that in 25 years.
Really?
Anyone do that, yeah.
I could never do that.
I used to do it on stage all the time.
What the hell?
Yeah. Damn. I don't know why. I don't know what the context was. It used to get huge laughs.
Like in daycare?
And this is
no, for like 25-year-olds. No.
In Chicago?
Yeah. I'm joking. I don't know if I got huge laughs.
I wanted to ask you about Chicago. Like, I started in Chicago. Is the joke that I started in Chicago with Carmen and John Reynolds and Connor and all of the Chicago guys. Yeah. Because they love Chicago, and it always comes up, and I feel like a fool because me and Clay moved straight out to L.A., uh-huh. When we have no stories other than
Chicago,
private little stories of things we do, like we couldn't stay up late enough to watch Conan O'Brien.
Really?
That's how boring our life was.
Your parents wouldn't let you stay up to watch Conan?
No, this is when we lived on our own
as
adults.
We moved out on our own, and we were like, I'm fucking beat right now. I can't keep my eyes open.
And what was it, 11:30?
Yeah, it's too late. I'm in bed.
I didn't really even know about Conan until the week he was retiring and everyone's marching around and shit wearing those little tote bags.
What the hell?
Dude, remember
that? I wasn't
that?
A Conan
was
guy.
Like...
I was a Letterman guy. I love Conan now. I'm like, this guy's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
He's like one of the funniest people ever walk the world. But I wasn't like a comedy nerd. I didn't like follow shit. I was like, I watched Martin.
Yeah, you were a businessman, right?
I was a business guy, man.
What were you doing before you started doing
supply chain and logistics broker sales? I was a national sales rep.
And you were killing it.
I was killing it.
Were you days away from buying a condo in Chicago?
I bought a condo and
I
bought a condo and foreclosed before 30 years old.
Wait, what? Had at that point you stopped and started doing comedy though?
Yeah, I started comedy when I was like 25 or 26. But then I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So I moved to New York. But yeah, I was going hard, man. I was like winning sales contests and shit.
Damn, dude.
You could have been one of those sales motivation
guys. So what happened to where you just quit your day job, which made you go broke, and then you had to foreclose on
it? Dude, I did not go broke. I saved all my money. I started when I started comedy, I was like, the first class, I was like, I know this is what I'm going to do. And I just started I made like 100. I think I said this on the podcast. When I was like 24, I made like 100 grand. It was like insane.
That's so sick.
I think I made 12.
Were you close at all in like buying that condo, or like how much money did you put into it?
That's the thing is, I bought it right before the housing market crashed, so anybody could get a loan. So I only put 5% down. It was like so sick.
Yeah, so 5% of 100 is like 50.
Where was
the condo? The condo was $200,000.
Was it in Chicago?
Old town. Yeah, and very like my favorite neighborhood in Chicago.
Right.
One of them. But like,
so it was like a desired neighborhood that you bought.
Absolutely. Top floor, 30th floor, 30 building, view of the entire city. It was like it was a junior one bedroom.
How many bitches? It wasn't even. Right. How many bitches did you have running around?
Honestly, I don't think I was like killing.
Clay, couldn't you imagine having bitches running around?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. Clay would have
just
mad
stink of pussy up there.
If that's what this podcast is.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many podcasts. We were like, I forgot who's here listening to. I don't even want to throw them on the bus. But they were just like two big fucking losers talking about all the pussy they were getting. And I was like, why are we listening to this? I was in the car with Joe when we were on tour.
Joe Pera.
Because
that's all he wants. He either wants to listen to people talk about pussy or he wants to watch porn in the car.
It was insane. It was like we were listening to it and it was like earnestly listening. And I just like abruptly was like, this is insane. Yeah. Like these dudes suck. All they're doing is talking about like all the girls they fuck. I'm like, no one. But I was like, no one wants to hear this. And then he was like, yeah, you're right. We don't want to hear it. But like all these like dudes who are at home who like want to like kind of like fantasize of what like road life is being a stand up.
Yeah.
They love this shit.
Yeah.
And they do. And they get like thousands and thousands.
Is
of
it a podcast
followers
about being on the road and getting pissy?
Yeah.
Well,
what
dude,
getting pissy.
Getting pussy.
Oh, pussy.
It's how people from our hometown say pussy.
Really?
That's no,
really
actually, funny. They go pussy.
Yeah.
Can you do it in a sentence?
You want to know how much pussy I got this week?
Dude, you sound really like you're from Michigan or something.
Yeah, I got some really good pussy this week.
Yeah.
You want to shake my hand?
Ugh. No.
Get over here.
Nah.
Shake my hand.
Feel how tight the grip is.
I used to open for a comic who is like a fuck comic to where he would get off stage and girls would want to fuck him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've never had that.
He
would tell stories about like getting fucked up and being a fun party guy. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, girls would come up to him every show.
I feel like it's because I feel like there's a lot of comics like that, but I feel like you have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you don't act that way.
But
so
even when I didn't
energy
have a girlfriend, it never.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, your comedy's all about how you're, like, sad or whatever.
Rod, what the
hell?
You crossed the line. Rod is, like, even weirder on this version of the podcast.
What the hell?
He's got a lot of, he hasn't jacked off in 45 minutes, so he's got a lot of pent-up rage.
Yeah. Why haven't you jacked off
it's
in
like
45
an
minutes?
Tate thing.
I've just been really busy today.
Where's the last thing you jacked off to?
Yeah.
this is
seriously, dude.
Seriously, dude. Come on.
Was it?
I mean, I don't really remember.
Was it porno?
Yeah, it definitely was porno.
Yeah, I'll tell a real jack off story in a second.
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
What were you going to say, Clay?
I jack off to pictures of my wife.
Yeah.
That's nice. Really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just
take photos of her when she's not looking.
Oh, wait.
Oh. Nice. Well, yeah. You're married. She signed a contract.
Yeah.
That's in there, right?
Have you
yeah
you've talked
and I'm
about
just
it?
Like, this is just out in public. Nice. She's just shopping for groceries.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Oh, I'd take that to the spank bank.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I jack off to a montage of all the makeout scenes I had with my girlfriend at Santa Monica Beach.
What the hell? Did you film those?
No, they're just in my brain.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's nice.
Dude, when I was a kid, I had a click of all of the, like a Rolodex in my brain of all the times I saw the back of a girl while she was sitting down and she was wearing a thong.
All the different
and that's what I was getting my nut to.
Right up here.
Every morning before school, laying down in the shower, in and out of sleep, trying to get an extra 20 minutes in, waking up, jacking off for 15 seconds, falling back asleep.
But it's also like one of those things, those thongs, they weren't really just showing anything. They were just high up.
Yeah, people were new, I think. The girls were new to thongs. They didn't know the height they were supposed to be at.
Isn't just it like in the middle of the back.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it wild that a thong is basically just like standard for a bathing suit now?
Yeah.
It's just standard. It's like no one cares. It's all good.
No, dude.
We're in Europe now.
In our hometown, thongs were illegal, which was a trip because a lot of girls were from Brazil, just a lot of Brazilian immigrants.
In Alabama?
Yeah. Or we're like on the beach.
We're from the beach. So, yeah. So, and my brother's a lifeguard. And so he had to go up to the hottest women he had ever seen from Brazil who were wearing thongs and tell them that they had to cover up.
And they would get pissed.
They'd be like, what? And he'd be like, I'm sorry. And he'd be so fucking embarrassed. But they're not illegal anymore. Oh,
that's a bummer.
Would he have to like write a ticket to somebody?
No, he would just tell them they have to like put a towel on or put their shorts back on or something.
Hmm. Wait, what's your jack-off story?
Oh, dude, I had to jack off today. I regret saying that I would. Well, whatever. This has happened to me probably 10 times in my life where I just feel like I gotta piss, but I don't.
What? I've had that happen to me one time. Yeah. It, like, really scared me.
And I'm like, what's wrong with me? And then I piss one time, and it's this hard, thick piss. And then I still feel like I got to piss, but I don't have to piss. And today I did a test to where if I jacked off, I got my nut. Yeah. And it was a thick, buttery nut, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What the heck? I've never had that. Have you just a pent-up nut?
It could have been, and then no, I don't think it was. And then it fixed
your butter was backed up. Is what
it
you're
fixed
telling
it? Yeah, yeah, it backed
it
up
like
butter.
Your butter was backed up,
and so I Googled it.
You Uh-oh. Googled backed up butter?
Uh oh,
backed up butter.
That's your first mistake. Yeah. It should have been ChatGPT-ing, but go on.
And I went on to Reddit, looked it up, and this is a common thing, and it is when sometimes in the night, I guess I must have been having dreams about all the thongs I've seen in my life, going up from basically sending my 3 to a 5 back and forth all throughout the night.
And you're you get your butter up to like the
butter up to the breaking point.
Yeah, you're getting your butter to the breaking point, but it never breaks, mm-hmm. and so it makes you feel like you have to pee.
Live your life the next day, and what's happened is your valves have like. Cross your butter valve and your piss valve have gotten confused.
Oh.
Whoa.
And they have now, they're like this or something.
Did getting the butter out, did that fix the problem?
Yeah, fix the problem. Yeah.
See, that's interesting because that has happened to me when I've had to take a shit, but my ass just pisses.
Mm.
Yeah. that's crazy.
That same thing.
Is it butter piss?
No, it's just like, fucking bright yellow piss, like dehydrated pee.
Yeah. Nice.
Wait, I want to know more about your Chicago place.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about. I want to just know about Chicago in general.
Well, you just did. You feel like you owned the city?
No, but I was like having the most fun ever as a 24, 25 year old because I was just like, I had fucking money. Like, I don't come from money. Like, nobody in my family had money like that. Everyone's a fucking construction worker. Barely anyone graduated high school. Mm-hmm. People are like, nobody graduated college. I'm like, barely anyone graduated high school in my fucking family. And which is fine, you know, respect. But like, I was like, I was having fun, man. I was going to like Lollapalooza. I was going to Cubs games. Dude. I was going
and
to
And you
Bulls
just started
games.
Doing comedy, too.
Just started doing comedy. I was doing like. Every
you're really good at spending money.
You are?
No, you are. This is what it sounds like.
I mean, I wasn't though. It's just like because I was making a lot of money. That stuff wasn't expensive. Like I was going to the Phoenix concert for like $60. I was going to like fucking, dude. It was like it was just like fun. And honestly, yeah, I was. But I had this like thing in my mind where I was like, I've done everything I could do in Chicago. What is next that would be fun? And it was like comedy. It's like that would be a fun life to live, you know. Now it's like fucking hell. You gotta fucking sell your asshole for tickets online, but it's still great. But I don't know. I didn't feel like the king. I felt like I was having a blast, and I was definitely looking for like what was next. But I was definitely like in the mindset at like 24, where I was like, 2 more years of like partying and doing well in sales, and then I should have a kid and get married or whatever. And I was definitely like thinking like that a little bit.
Was it a freak out kind of thing where you had to decide to quit your normal whatever the job was? Sales?
It was such a slow transition out because I ended up staying in Chicago and working sales while doing like improv and sketch classes and doing shows the whole time. I was working 50 hours a week and doing shows and like going to class and like acting classes every night. I was just like fucking dead. But you can only do that once, you know, in your 20s.
So did you have a job, though?
Yeah, I had my. I kept my job the whole time while I was doing comedy.
When you when left that York, job, did you have another job to go to? Or were you just like, I'm going to live off my
I lived off my savings, but I got a part-time job in New York at Bonobos, a men's fucking pants
store. Like corporate job?
Yeah, and it was bullshit. Like, it was customer service. Like, people would call and be like, my son's chinos went to his frat house and they should have gone to his apartment. And I would be like, hello, hello, I can't hear you. And I'd like hang up on him. Like, I'm not doing this. That's this awesome. Is awful. And then I'd get, and then I would get credit for the call because they would track your calls. But if I like pretend like, you know, whatever, like dude, I had no service.
If they you were stayed at the place in Chicago, how high up in the biz do you think you would have been by now?
If I didn't have any comedy aspirations.
Yeah, like you were just like wanting to be just like.
I think that I would probably be like, I would have became a sales manager. And like, I think that like, I just knew that I didn't want to keep doing. Sales is such a hustle that I was looking for something more permanent. And the manager jobs, they're like golden cuffs where they like pay you really well. You get really good stock options. You don't have to like bust your ass and you're in charge of people. And you could kind of sit back. Like, my manager didn't do shit.
Yeah.
He just, like, would check in and be like, what you got for me today? And he'd be like, what? Like, what do you... You don't do anything.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a little belly, and he would, like, come up to your desk, and the belly would, like, touch you a little bit. So, and he'd have, like... He'd have, like, a Diet Dr. Pepper. And he was great, though. I did, like... Once I told him I was doing comedy, and I, like... Then he, like, never checked in on me. He was, like, let me fucking, like, not do well at work. Because I was, like, doing great, and then I was, like... Not like I had two assistants. I had an assistant on each side of me.
What the hell?
What the hell?
And what was your reputation in the comedy scene at that point? Did people?
Oh, they were like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
It took it. And yeah. So how did you meet your crew, like Reynolds and Connor and
Reynolds? Reynolds, I had a class with. Reynolds was like 19, and I was like 25, and I was like, well. This guy's the funniest guy in the class. I'm not going to not be friends with him because he's, like, young. You know what I mean? I was like, this is, like, I'm here to do comedy. I like him. He's funny. Whatever. And he was, like, he's so different than what he is now. obviously, like, I, like, there's, like, a time where I would, like, he probably didn't remember, but I would, like, buy them. Whoever was around me, I would just buy drinks because I was making money.
Yeah.
And then Gary... I think
this is John Reynolds and Gary Richardson,
yeah.
Who people might know from SNL and
Search Party, Stranger Things.
I Think You Should Leave.
Bumblebee Show. What is it?
Bumblebee Show.
What's that show on Showtime?
Oh, Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. But John was like great, or he was fun. He was cool. John became friends with Gary. Because John got put on some, like, great teams right away, and I didn't make a team. And, like...
How does this shit work?
You, like, basically you go through classes, and then they take their, like, 12 favorite people and put them on a team. And John got put on, like, a veteran team, like, the best team at the theater.
Damn.
And then I didn't get placed on a team. But I was like, I'm not going to stop doing comedy, so I just did the worst shows at, like, the worst venues to try to, like, get better. And, like, Gary was already on a team. He was, like, 2 years ahead of us, I think. And so him and John became friends because they were both on teams. And then I was, like, their friend who wasn't on a team.
This sounds like college sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
It kind of is, dude. You got to have this competition in comedy, Clay. Maybe that's why you never cut it as a stand-up comedian.
Did you try out for SNL? I did.
I tried out a couple times. Did the screen test.
You went to 30 Rock. You stood on that stage.
Went to 30 Rock, sat on the stage. They said, they said, no thanks. I said, bitch, you think I want to be on this whack ass show? Nah, I'll host. Call me when you need me to host.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were like, okay, we're sorry.
He said, this shit's so sick.
Yeah.
I did that same thing. And then Shane Gillis did it right after me. And then Shane said, ah, that went really well.
Yeah.
And I said, well, didn't go well for me.
Damn.
Did I bomb? Straight bombed at the test. SNL
Wait, you told a story one time about how a guy walked you out and he told you you did a really great job.
Yeah. He walked me to the thing and was like, listen, man, I think you have, I think, like, I don't say this to a lot of people, but I think you've got, like, what they want.
Somebody said that?
Because they were looking, when I auditioned, they were looking.
I could see you being on that show.
They were looking for red state appeal, is what they were saying. So because I think I'm Southern, they wanted somebody who could tap into that world. But I don't really represent anything about the South when people look at me.
Yeah, Shane represents the South a little bit more.
I went on and I bombed and I was talking about it. And then Shane went up and I was like, how did it go? And he said it went really well. And then he got SNL. But I did a bit where I was like, here's my celebrity impressions and I'll let you guess who this is. And I said, my name is Michael Caine. And there was nothing. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's so clever. And just ate shit.
Wait, that was also so during funny. That was during the Golden One.
We were filming my comedy special, yeah.
I think it's funny, honestly.
Did you do like the whole gamut celebrity impressions?
Yeah. I did.
Because that's what they want you to do.
I did Turtle from Entourage. And I did Lin-Manuel Miranda at a strip club. Nice. And I think, and then the next time I did it, I did, what's his name? What was that guy's name? Michael, the politician guy, Michael,
Rappaport.
No,
Michael Rappaport.
Was he in the wood? Scaramucci.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
I did Anthony. I think I did Anthony.
Anthony Scaramucci? I might have cut that. Is that his name?
Yeah. Actually, who was the governor in New York? Cuomo. I did Cuomo. Oh,
okay.
Oh. I did. It was embarrassing. I did Cuomo the next time I did it, and then I did. I did Ice-T, which is questionable.
I used to do Wanda Sykes all the time.
Really?
Yes. Never thought anything about it. And I was doing Wanda.
You did a really good
one. It was
Wanda.
One of my go-to impressions.
It was a really good one.
I did it to her one time, like at a show. We were on the same show somehow
in
LA.
Laugh?
Well, she went up after me and she goes, I would go do my whole impression.
Yeah, do it. Go for it.
And then she just went on stage and she goes, Whipper, you look like a fucking milkman. And everybody just fell down to the ground laughing.
She said that to you?
Yeah, because I guess I kind of do look like I would be a milkman from like the 60s. But, and then she was really nice.
She sounds awesome. Or, I don't know, is she awesome?
Yeah, she's cool. Shit? I think she's, I mean, how are you not going to be funny when you sound like that?
Yeah.
Did you like, because everybody talks so much shit about SNL, it's like, yeah, that's not, that show sucks or whatever. But then whenever I was testing for it, I was like, my life was flashing before my eyes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, my dad is going to love me how I need him to love me.
Yeah.
My brother's going to be able to tell his friends what I do and it's going to make sense and all that kind of stuff. And I was immediately just like selling out and being totally good with it.
Oh, I mean, the first time I screen tested, I really wanted it. Like, I was like, I moved to New York. There's no, like, I wanted to be on SNL. Like, I wanted to do it. And like, I kind of started comedy because I thought it'd be cool to be on that show. And then like, so I was like, I was just green. And I was like, this would be so fucking cool. And then didn't get it. And then like a few years passed by and they asked for a tape for my reps. And at that point I would like moved on. I didn't really care to want it. But then when I started doing the tape, I was like, well, of course I want it now that I'm doing this. It's like a fucking job and it's like a big job and it gets you other jobs. Of course you want it. And then, but then I was like, damn, I got put on hold again during COVID. But they weren't doing screen tests because they didn't bring anybody in. But it was like a thing where I was like, oh, this is a real possibility. I'm on hold or whatever. They had to sign the contract and whatever. And then I did acid that weekend. I did like a half a tab of acid. And Anthony over, but we were like, there was a bunch of people. We went up to a cabin upstate. It's like Labor Day weekend. This is when they decide every year. It's like around this time. And I like brought him in a room and I was like, hey, dude, I just signed this contract. Whatever, like I might, like I'm up for this job. And I was like, I just like, I'm freaking out. I don't want to do it. I'm like really scared that I'm going
to
get it.
That you're nervous to do the show or are you scared because the show's stupid?
I think I was scared because I felt like a lot of pressure.
Right.
Of it. I mean, honestly, I think it was just I was fucked up. Yeah. It had nothing to do with, like, I'm sure if I got the job, it would have been great and fun. But, like, I freaked out because I was on acid.
Right.
I've only done acid like 3 times.
And you're seeing like guys' faces turned into goblin faces and stuff.
Everybody was straight up goblin mode, except for Overbeck. So I was like, this is the only guy I could talk to right now. You might know Anthony Overbeck from Shrill.
Yeah.
And Stepdad.
And The Civil Dead.
Civil Dead, that's right.
Yeah. Carmen was in The Civil Dead, and we had to lose him.
Check out the DVD, though.
Yeah.
Deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Have you been getting all your residuals?
Yeah,
every
yeah.
sale, you should get like $5.
Yeah. I got point. Wait, I have to tell you something crazy.
All right.
This is actually good for the podcast.
All right.
I met fucking Ted Sarandos last night.
What the hell?
Where'd you meet this guy?
He was at the Largo. I did a Largo show. He was there. Adam Sandler was there. Adam Sandler did the show, and this old dude was like there, and he's like, "Hey, hello," and I was like, "Oh, he seems nice," and like said hello. He's like, and someone's like, "This is Ted Sarandos. That's Ted Sarandos." And my honest to God reaction, they're like, "This is Ted Sarandos." And I go, "Oh, you're him?" That's you. I said that to his face, and he was nice. He was like, "Yeah, I'm
Ted." Wait, who is he? Is he the Netflix guy, or is he?
He started this shit. He's numero uno over
he's
there.
He's Netflix, right? Is Netflix. That the company?
He is okay. Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild.
You should have asked him for $5,000.
I should have just been like, I mean, you know what's funny is I could have ended the whole strike there if I, no, I'm sorry. But but it was just so bizarre to be like, I'm going to do a show, and it's like you leave and you met like the guy who like everybody is like striking against
right now. And he's really nice.
And he was so nice.
Was everyone really cool with him just being there?
I don't know who knew it was him and who didn't.
Is he backstage?
He was backstage. He was chilling.
Because like, he's probably friends with Adam.
Yeah, like he makes all of Adam Sandler's shit.
Did you get to chill with the Sandman?
I did. That was awesome.
What was, did he watch your set?
He watched, him and fucking Ted Sarandos watched my whole set.
Damn.
It was crazy.
Dude, your life's about to change, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was like a thing where I was like, it was like one of those things too where I was like, it was my first Largo show.
What? Whose show was it?
Chris Fleming.
Oh, cool.
Super funny guy.
Did you do your applesauce joke?
I did.
So sick.
Oh, thanks.
So sick.
Thanks, buddy.
Everybody go see Carmen on tour so you can see his applesauce joke.
Yeah.
So
I'm
good.
Doing Arlington, Virginia on the 9th, then Charleston, then Tampa, then Miami. My ticket sales are so low. Wait, this is so, this is a funny thing. So yeah, this is all yesterday. I'm at the beach with my girlfriend, like, filming a stupid promo for Arlington, and I get my ticket sales. And my ticket sales for Arlington, I'm just going to tell you, they're, like, 14 out of, like, 550. And then I was like, and then I get my Tampa ticket sales, and it's, like, 2 tickets out of 270.
Yeah, hell yeah,
and then my Miami tickets are, like, 2 out of 98. I literally was silent for a half an hour. I was like questioning everything. I was like, wait, I don't get it. Like, I thought I was doing good in this world and this life. And then I'm like questioning everything I'm doing on social media, every move I've ever made. I'm like, I should have put everything into social media. This is why I'm having this problem. Just being like, I shouldn't do comedy. I fucking suck. What is, like, I know I'm good at this, but I'm like, why is no one fucking with me? This is crazy. And then I like go, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna like let this ruin my day. So I was just like, I fucking snapped out of it. And I just started thinking about all the shit I appreciate. This is so corny. And then to go to this show, and then it's like, the only thing I'm thinking is, like, I want to have a good set. It's my first Largo show. I want to keep doing shows here. I want this Flannery dude to, like me, whatever.
Yeah.
And then Chris is like, oh, by the way, okay, so it'll be, you know, Andrea. It'll be Chris, Andrea, Mary, me, and then Adam Sandler's going to go. I was like, Adam Sandler's here? I was like, I knew this was going to happen. I told my girlfriend the day before, I was like, Adam Sandler's doing all these shows. I bet he's just going to do this show. I don't know why. And then just so happens I'm right before him. Him and fucking Ted Sarandos are sitting right next to each other.
Your buddy.
So Ted. Insane.
We gotta
get
him on here.
They watch. They like. I go up and I'm trying not to like think about it. I'm trying to just like focus on the set. And the set was going particularly well.
Hell yeah.
And so like halfway through, I was like, I gotta see if they're still there. And they're like still there. And I was like, hell yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it was great. It was great. They both see me again. But then I talked to fucking Adam Sandler. Fucking. for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes afterwards. And he was like the nicest, coolest dude where you're like, it's just like funny to be like, I can't sell a ticket. But then I'm like, well, this guy thinks I'm funny. And this guy's been in everything great. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to go to Tampa and fuck it. Yeah.
All right. What's the show you want everybody to go see the most?
I want everybody to come out to Arlington, Virginia, Charleston, Tampa, and Miami. Charleston, South Carolina, all four of those.
Yeah.
Because those are the first four. The other ones are like selling decent, I guess. Those are hard. Except Charleston's might be doing okay.
Yeah, and if anybody watching is going, well, why? Just go, Carmen's. Carmen's funny,
he's
dude.
He's cool. He's cool and funny.
Yeah, and we'll make another promo video and annoy more people right now.
But. Yeah.
All right.
Bye. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, pal.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, dude. Bye.
Hi, gang. We're back. This is the outro.
Hope you had fun.
That was a great episode. Isn't it? Sorry for being British there, but it was that. Carmen's a great bloke. He's a good chat.
What the hell are you saying?
Yeah, Carmen's on tour too right now. I don't know if you caught the dates there, but let me see.
I'm sure he gave them out.
Maybe he did. I don't know. All right, Carmen, right now, when do you think this is going to be uploaded, Clay?
I couldn't give you the exact date, but it's the date we're on tour. It's the second Thursday of when we're on tour.
All right, we're going to cut all this from the podcast. All right, the 14th. So right now, Carmen is in Miami, Florida tonight.
Woo!
And then he's going to Morgantown.
Morgantown?
What's WV?
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
That's what that is.
That's where I'm going.
Where else would it be?
West Virginia. Yeah, I'm going there for a wedding. That doesn't feel right to me.
What do you mean? What else would it be?
I guess that's right, but just... I always forget about West Virginia.
Yeah, we all do.
It's stupid. Think of another name. Why is it West Virginia? We get Virginia.
You don't like the Carolinas either? The Dakotas?
North and South is okay, in my opinion.
You don't like regular?
If there's no East
Virginia.
Yes, go off.
Why aren't people talking about this?
Yes.
There's no East Virginia. Why isn't the other one Evie? Rod,
because well, it's just regular Virginia.
What's your rebuttal, smart
guy?
Wow,
you had a real big mouth before we stumped you on this one.
Yeah,
it's just Virginia and then West Virginia. I don't know what the problem.
Rod right, just goes along with anything
tonight,
you tell him.
Carmen is in Miami, Florida. Government. Then the 21st, he's in Morgantown, West Virginia. I don't know why he's going there. Never even heard of that place.
What did you?
I think even I would say no to that.
No, right. You'd go to Morgantown.
Yeah,
what is Morgantown? Right. Morgantown has to be a border town. It's a border to another state that has a bigger city.
Then the 22nd, he's going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's a great city. We were just there. Wonderful horseshoe casino.
Yeah.
Well,
no, that was not there.
It wasn't?
That was in Atlantic City.
No.
What? You sound like a fool.
We stayed at Harrah's. In
oh, wait. You said Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Then, 922, Pittsburgh. 923, Bethlehem. And then just look at it. Look it up.
Just Carmen follow him.
I don't think it was the horseshoe.
Oh. Okay.
Horse crab.
I think it was called, like, River.
River
City?
Something. I don't know.
Riverside. River whatever. It doesn't River matter.
No, it does casino. Matter. Let's sit on this and figure it out.
We can cut that out.
I don't think
we're
matters.
Not cutting it out. Like, I'm actually adding this clip twice.
Well, like, Clay, I'm already agreeing that you're right. Please
can
tell
you do me
that.
A favor and just kind of. You know, mark it and make sure you cut this out.
No.
You maybe can cut it out.
All right, Rod, I'm playing this clip three times.
I think we're staying at the Horseshoe Casino in St. Louis.
Rivers Casino.
Rivers Casino.
Sounds like a fool.
Right. It's based off of Rivers Cuomo, the weird little guy from that band.
Yeah.
It's his brother.
Do we not talk about that enough?
How he's weird and
he's little. A weird little guy. People bring him up into conversation and not remind you. He's
weird
a weird little guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be a weird guy, there's no better style of guy, weird guy to be than a
little
guy.
One. Yeah.
And he went to college during his experiencing success with his band.
He went to college?
Yeah, he went to college after the after the Blue album.
That's crazy. I'd never work again.
Me neither.
Right.
And I guess I'm on tour for like, no, I'm not.
No, you're good.
We're back from tour.
Done. Thanks for coming to my shows. Yeah.
Wait, when do you go to Denver?
I'm it's like the 14th or something.
Okay.
Wait, no.
Okay.
Everybody, subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah. If you want to see the video of this, it's really good.
If you want to see the cool looking video in our Red Door Patreon.
Technically, it's a feature film, and we don't talk about that enough that we release a feature film every week.
Yeah.
And sometimes we release two feature films a week.
It's crazy.
And there's also bonus episodes with videos, and we're working on a bunch of other tiers. Please let us know.
And the next Patreon that we do, we're going to release on VHS. We all agree to that?
Yep.
All right.
And hold on. And also subscribe to the podcast and all the different ways you listen to the podcast, because this is new. That helps. And also review the podcast.
Very helpful.
Unless you don't have anything nice to say, then don't review it.
Yeah.
I think any review is actually good. I think it's all algorithm.
Rod's being a contrarian.
No, I think it's
just basically like Steve Albini right now.
It's all just like algorithm stuff. It doesn't really matter.
Rod, save it for 4chan.
Save it for Twitter.
What the hell?
All right.
Bye, gang.
Rod's weird.